San Diego.
Wow. Hi, I'm Nicole, and I am an alcoholic. That's awesome. Congratulations to the birthday recipients. That's a lot of sobriety in here, and there's a lot more because everyone's here. So, all right. My sobriety date is January 20th, 2013. I got sober in Washington. I was on business trip, and for last year, I spent the first 3 months of my sobriety, or the first 3 months of the year, in different states, as in Washington, Norfolk, and also Japan. And I owe it to this program, because in Japan, I wasn't thinking, you know, I'm trying to get sober for the second time, and I didn't know what to do. I got to Japan, and I was kind of like, crap. I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to stay sober. And I ended up contacting someone within the program in Japan, and she was in Tokyo while I was an hour and a half away, but she got me through it. You know, she helped me through it, and that's what this program does. It helps everyone through it. So, a little bit about myself. I was raised in northern Florida, a very small town. It had 5 elementary schools and 1 middle school and 1 high school for the whole entire county. My first drink was, I couldn't even tell you what my first drink was, but when I was 15, that was my first drunk, and I didn't have a euphoric feeling. I didn't feel as if I arrived. I had a hangover, I got sick, and I passed out. I skipped school, and so I got in trouble too. That was my first drink, and that was basically the whole entire time that I was ever drinking. That's what it was. I had one goal in mind, and that was not to really remember what happened the night before. And that's what I was a bartender for many years, and that's what we did. We went out and we drank, and there wasn't it was acceptable at that time. It wasn't until 2008, after many years of drinking and not having any direction and doing geographicals throughout Florida, that I got the bright idea to join the military. So I was 28 in 2008, and I decided to join the Navy because that was going to get me sober. That was going to make everything right, you know? So, you know, in 2008, I joined the military, and it was an experience. Boot camp was, you know, an experience in itself. But needless to say, joining the military and trying not to drink do not mix. It's like oil and water. So what happened in 2009, after many years of drinking and driving and everything else, it kind of caught up to me. It was bound to happen eventually. You know, I got pulled over. I was in Coronado. I swerved into another lane. I got pulled over, and he took me to jail, which was a godsend for me. I have a higher power, and I believe it was my grandparents trying to guide me in the right direction, because nothing else is working. So I needed something really, you know, to conk me on the head and tell me to wake up. And I didn't get sober at that time, but it definitely led me in the right direction, because it did. I got court slipped into the rooms, and I had 3 meetings that I had to go to, which I went to every meeting. And then after that, you know, I was kind of like, oh, well, I don't have to go, so I'm not going to go. But I already had AA in my head, and then I had a beer full of belly, so those two don't mix either. So, you know, I'm sitting there as I'm drinking with my friends and telling my friends that I'm an alcoholic and that I don't need to be drinking, and they're like, no, you're fine, you know. And nobody thought I had a problem, because I hit it really well. Like, I functioned sort of, I suppose, as much as you can. So I went to work, you know, I had a job, I was in the military, like, and it was okay if I went and hungover, because that was acceptable also. It's not so much now, because they are trying to change things, the way they look at things. But so after, you know, a couple years, in 2012, one of my dear friends came back into my life at the right time, because he couldn't be there for me at a time. Years before, and he entered my life, and I was on a down spiral. I was pretty much at my wit's end. At this point, I was drinking alone at home. And you know, a lot of times I look in the mirror and I hated who I saw in the mirror. I didn't want to live, and, you know, I was too chicken to kill myself. But then I thought about, okay, well, what if I drive off the road or something like that? Nobody will ever know. You know, I did it intentionally, which is false also. So all these thoughts, like, going through my mind, and then he came back into my life at this time when, I don't know, God sent him into my life again, and it was just an amazing, he said two sentences to me that changed my life, and that's the reason why I'm here today, and he was with me long enough to get me into the rooms, and he passed away after a month and a half, after a month that he entered my life again. He ended up passing away, and not necessarily because of the disease, but it had a lot to do with it. And so I that next day, after I spoke to him on the phone, I decided to ask for help. I went into the Navy, and I told them, you know, it was different this time. Back in 2009, I went to them, or I had to, because after I got my DUI, like, I had to go in there, and they had to assess me and how much I drank, and I lied my ass off. I wasn't going to tell them the truth. No, I don't, you know. Ask me if I blacked out. No, I never black out. Oh, do you always drink? No, I don't always drink. Or how much do you drink? Oh, a couple beers. I didn't tell them that they were 2 24-ounce beers. So, you know, this time that I went in, you know, February 16th of 2012, I went to them and told them that I couldn't do it anymore, that I needed help. And from that point on, they did everything possible. You know, I went into treatment. I went into a 35-day treatment program. And from that point, I started going to meetings regularly. I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps. But the problem was, is because I didn't do the whole entire program. I didn't have the fellowship because I had the sponsor and I was working that aspect. But I didn't connect with any other women within the program except for my sponsor and a few sporadic people. And then I ended up relapsing for 20 days. And at the beginning of last year, I made it through New Year's and then decided to go out 2 days after New Year's. You know, I went up to Washington after that, and I was drinking a little bit, but I tried to control it, you know, but I was also miserable. And I called my sponsor and asked her if she would start working with me again, and she said yes, and which is another godsend. Like, I don't know. Everything is just so amazing in this program and within this program. It's just incredible. But so she went through the steps, and she started working the steps with me and taking me through everything again. You know, we had to start back over from step one because, you know, before I did it, I didn't do it wholeheartedly. I didn't do it thoroughly. I didn't work this thorough program. And she's like, well, get in contact with women and work the steps and, you know, do this fellowship aspect. And that's what I did. The second time around, I definitely worked my steps, and I started going to women's meetings, and that saved my ass. And it's in this program that I meet these amazing, amazing people. And I see going back there. I just meet all these amazing women, and I can build relationships and friendships, and it's not based upon a bottle anymore. It's based on actual communication. And learning how to communicate was a whole nother story. It's like a whole life-changing aspect, because before, my communication level was throwing something or, you know, or fighting, or just yelling, and that's not my communication anymore. Like, I actually try to, you know, talk to people and tell people, like, how I'm feeling and ask them how they're feeling. And the most important thing that I do now is, you know, if I call someone within the program, and if they answer the phone, you know, I ask them, before I have to spill whatever's going on with me, I ask them how they're doing, because that gets me out of my head. So, and also, you know, praying for, because obviously I have my resentment list, and there are things on there that I had absolutely no control over, which I don't have control over anything. But so I have this resentment list, and I was told, and I heard in these rooms, that I need to pray for the people that harmed me, and which is the most freeing thing possible, actually, because I'm praying for these people, and I should still have all this hatred inside of me, but I don't have that anymore. I don't have hatred for anyone. Or at least I try not to. You know, driving down the road, sometimes it's aggravating in San Diego. it's working these steps, and it's working with my sponsor, and it's working with my sponsee, and it's coming into these rooms and taking commitments and, you know, getting up here in front of all of you, which is a lot of people, but I don't know. I think that's it. Like, pretty much, I don't know. Thank you for listening to me. Thanks.